Thank you, Brother Kevin. You know, you all are a peculiar people.
Yes, we are.
Huh? That's what the Bible says, a peculiar and a holy nation. So I'm excited, very excited to see what God's doing in this church. And you all have been supporting our ministry for many years, and for that we're very, very thankful. How many were here last year when we shared our story? Okay, several of you. I've got several stories that I want to share with you this morning. How many know that that's what Jesus did? He shared stories. By the way, Ron, you remind me of a saved Neil Young. I closed my eyes and I thought Neil Young was up here singing. Praise God. I'm here to share just a few stories with you, some real stories to encourage you. I'm going to wrap it all up at the end with some story of hope and encouragement. I have been saved since 1987. My wife and I gave our hearts to the Lord in 1987. When I graduated from college in 1981, by the way, this is my wife, Dee. She's been my girlfriend for 43 years and my wife for 36 years. So I'm very thankful that she's hung in there with me. We have two married children, we have four grandchildren, and we have one on the way that'll be here sometime in July, so we're very, very blessed. But I graduated from college here in Indianapolis, went to IUPUI and took some of my classes down in Bloomington in 1981, and I knew that I could not make enough money here in Indiana, and so because they taught me a principle down in Bloomington in one of my classes called OPM. How many have heard that principle before? Other people's money, that's right. So I had a goal. Because of that principle, I wanted to be $1 million in debt by the time I was 30. So when I moved to Texas seeking fame and fortune, I doubled my goal when I was 28 years old. I was $2 million in debt. I thought, I got this thing down. This is working. They were handing out money like candy down there in real estate. But let me just tell you that after a period of a few years of buying and selling real estate and investing in commercial and residential properties, 1986, some of you might remember that the economy crashed, oil prices went from $30 a barrel to $10 a barrel, and we lost everything. They foreclosed on our home, they come and knock on our door at 4 o'clock in the morning, towing our cars away. You know, the banks are funny, if you don't make the car payment, they'll just come and get them. And so that was very embarrassing, but it was the absolute best thing that ever happened to us because as a result of those difficult, difficult times, how many know it's very humbling to be a married husband with two children and have them cut the lights off because you don't pay the bill, have them cut the phone off because you don't pay the bill. Very, very embarrassing, very humbling. But that was the best thing that ever happened to us because we found the Lord. We gave our hearts to Christ in 1987. We moved back here to Indiana to be with family. And God began to set us on a path that I would never, ever guess that He would allow us to be a part of. You know, when I first got saved, I held back just a little bit, Kevin, because I knew if I gave Him everything, He was going to send me to Africa as a missionary. And I didn't want to go to Africa to be a missionary. But you know what? He changed my heart. And since that time, we've been a part of an organization called Facilitators International. We've had the privilege, Dee and I have, of traveling literally all over the world. We've been to China, Asia, India, Latin America, Africa, Europe, and we're very, very blessed to have a chance to partner with schools and seminaries that are training international students. You know, you all are a part of an international ministry, this church, Corinth Church, little church out here in Brownsburg. You guys are a part of spreading the gospel all over the world. We've partnered with schools like the Elam Conference. We were part of the Elam Conference a couple of weeks ago, and I'm going to share some details about that. But the African, West Africa Theological Seminary located in Lagos, Nigeria, the Moscow Christian Seminary, which is in Moscow, the Evangelical Bible Seminary, which is in Yangon, Myanmar. All over the world, there are schools that are planted. God has raised up for these people to train the nationals to do the work of the ministry. You and I can become missionaries if we want, but we've got to learn the language, we've got to learn the culture, It takes years for us to really be fruitful in these other parts of the world. We don't understand how they think. And yet, if we partner with these schools, they're taking students, these students that are becoming Christians, and I'm talking about serious, serious Christians. They want to be trained on how to become evangelists and Bible teachers and pastors. The Church of Jesus Christ is growing so fast around the world. The demand for leadership is way behind. And so you're doing a part in giving to facilitators. Dee and I have a full-time real estate company, so we don't take any money from Facilitators International. 100% of your gift goes to scholarships for these students around the world. And so we're very, very blessed to be a part of that. We just got back a couple of weeks ago from the Elam conferences where they raise money for the Iranian Bible College. And they have a strange mindset over there in Iran, in the Middle East. Jesus is actually appearing to these people, these Muslims, in their dreams, and he's appearing to them. And he's saying, I'm the one that you need to follow. And they're willing to do that. They're willing to do that to the extent of the loss of their families. It's very embarrassing for a Muslim to convert to Christianity, and his family sometimes disowns him. If I could get James and his wife and Emmy to come, I have a little illustration. I want to use them as try to bring it home as to what exactly happens over there. But we learned a new term a couple of weeks ago called car church. How many of you have ever heard car church? See, it's illegal to serve Jesus over there in Iran. And these students, it's almost like they have a badge of honor when they get arrested. It's almost like they look forward to getting arrested and put in prison because they think, okay, now I'm able to suffer for Christ. And they just have a whole different mentality over there. You're a part of printing these New Testament, Farsi, New Testament Bibles. This is in Farsi. How many in here know how to read Farsi? I didn't think so. I don't either. But this book is a New Testament. It's a very nice leather-bound New Testament. And so over there, they'll text each other, and they'll say, okay, Kevin, I'm coming to pick you up at 6:15. Ron, I'm coming over. We're going to pick you up at 6:30, and we're going to get in my car. We're going to drive around town. We're going to have praise and worship, and we're going to sing. We're going to read the Bible together. We're going to encourage one another, and then we're going to go out and do car evangelism. And we'll have a box of these New Testaments in the car, and we'll drive along, and if we see a car with a window down, we'll throw it into the car. And that way we can't get caught, right? They have a method of taking these and taping them to the top of a pizza box. And a pizza delivery guy will deliver the pizza. Nobody's the wiser. And they'll open it up, and there's the New Testament taped to the top of the box. So they have ways of evangelizing that are very unique and necessary, but again, it's almost like they get excited. Farshid, I've talked about Farshid here, I think, before. He was the pastor of a church, and he had gotten word they were coming to arrest him, so he started texting all of his friends, they're coming to get me. They arrested him, and they put him in prison, and he was in prison for 6 years. And all that time, all he had to do was deny Christ, and they would let him go. But he refused to do that. And his wife kept telling him, if you don't come home, then I'm not going to be here when you get home, when you get out of prison. He got out of prison a couple of years ago. His wife had left him and took their two kids, and he hasn't seen them since. So how many know here in Brownsburg, Indiana, it really doesn't cost a whole lot to become a Christian? We might have to change a few friends. We might have to, you know, take a little bit of heat from our family. But over there in the Middle East, it's very serious if you commit your life to Christ. So I've got a couple of volunteers. I want them to come up. I want to kind of demonstrate to you exactly what happens. Kevin, you're in this too. If y'all don't mind, Kevin's going to be Jesus. So we got Jesus over here. And we got JC. And we got Emmy. I have a granddaughter named Emmy. And we've got James. So one of these students is going along, and they find JC. And she decides she wants to follow Jesus. So she's learning the word. She's following Christ. But the problem is James is a Muslim. And again, it's very embarrassing for a Muslim to be married to a Christian. And so James comes to JC and says, you either decide to follow Christ, to come back to Islam, or I'm going to take Emmy and you'll never see her again. So here's JC. She's learning about Christ. She's reading the Word. She's renewing her mind. She's building her faith. She's praying and praying for James to come to Jesus. Now give Emmy to James. She's faced with this decision. She says goodbye to Emmy, and she decides she's going to stay with Jesus. Now, this is a real-life story. We've met the young lady named Magda who made that decision, said goodbye to her daughter, said she'd never see her again. And we've seen her since then. I don't know how many years it's been, but she had to make that decision. She followed Jesus. She was Emmy's age when she made that decision. I wouldn't be one faced with that kind of a decision. Thank you very much. Thank you, Jesus. You kind of look like Jesus, Kevin. So that's what's going on, and we could share with you story after story of what God is doing in other parts of the world. The West Africa Theological Seminary is one of the most strategic seminaries in Lagos, Nigeria. It's training Africans from all over West Africa, and they're being raised up as leaders. The Moscow Christian Seminary is doing a wonderful job of raising Christian leaders to preach the gospel in Russia. And over, and so I just want to say thank you for your participation in what we do at Facilitators. We do one thing. We raise scholarship funds for the training of indigenous or national students to become pastors and missionaries. And so whenever you give your contributions, we're going to give you a chance a little bit later if you want to give a little bit extra. We committed some extra money to help the training of the students in Iran when we were down in Florida a couple of weeks ago, so we want you to have a part in that. And you're giving, again, 100% of your dollar goes to the school. We've been to the seminary that's the training's done in London and also done in Istanbul, Turkey, and so it's a very risky situation. You and I can't go as missionaries to that part of the world. We're not allowed. We can go to Iran, but we can only stay maybe for a couple of weeks. The visa's only good for that long. So again, I just want to bring you an up-to-date that your investment in the training of nationals is working. I've got a couple of resources, some books. They wrote a book called There's Too Many to Jail. There are too many Christians in Iran for them, and the government won't even acknowledge or admit how many people are converting to Christianity. You know, Islam is an empty religion. It doesn't bring hope or encouragement. It only brings despair. And they have the same problems that we have here. They have drug problems. They have divorce. They have women that are being beaten by their husbands. It's the same issues all over the world. And Islam is not meeting their needs. And so they're running to Jesus. And they're telling us there are hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people that are coming to Christ in Iran and the Middle East alone. But another story I want to share with you is our own personal story. Back in July of 2016, I had gotten up and went to men's prayer at our church like I normally do, 6 o'clock in the morning. I sat down in my chair in our prayer room at 6:30 and I passed out. A couple of fellows in the room recognized that I wasn't breathing, and so they started CPR. They worked on me for a few minutes. They got 911 on the phone. And the EMT showed up, and those gentlemen, those two specific fellows from the Greenwood Fire Department, worked on me for 30 minutes trying to get a heartbeat. And they shocked me with the defibrillators 5 times. And I have since learned that being shocked with those defibrillators, Kevin, is like 40 men hitting you in the chest at the same place at the same time. 30 minutes is the cutoff. They quit. They got the emergency room doctor on the phone, and they said, what do you want to do? Because at that time, the emergency room doctor had to be the one to call it and say, you can quit. He had just been doing some research, and learned that if you hit someone with two sets of paddles, that might get the heart started. And so he told them to do that procedure. They did. They got a heartbeat. They got me loaded up in the ambulance, and I died again on the way to the hospital. So at that point, I was down for 37 minutes on the way to the hospital. They worked on me again in the ER, and I was down for another 30 minutes, and they got a heartbeat again. And so they rushed me to the operating room and found out that my circumflex artery was 100% blocked. And so they had me on a ventilator because at that time, everything shut down. My lungs had shut down. My organs had shut down. It was pretty much over. And somehow or another, the 700 Club, CBN, heard this story. And so they sent a crew out, and they filmed and did a testimony of our story. So I'm going to ask you to play that real quick, and then we'll share a little bit more. But so God did a miracle that day, and he left me here for one reason, and that's to share of his miracle-working power. It wasn't as if I pulled myself up by my bootstraps and said, I'm going to get through this. I was just a totally unwilling participant. But God did that to bring hope and encouragement to everybody that's sitting here this morning. You may be sitting here and you may be thinking, well, geez, you know, I lost my brother, I lost my dad, God prayed and God didn't save my family member. What happened then? You know what? God's God. I don't have all the answers, but I do know this. He is able. And you may be sitting here or you may know someone that's their marriage is about dead. God can resurrect the marriage just like he resurrected me. Your story, your dream might be suffering a little bit. God wants to restore that. He wants to make that dream become reality. He is able. He was the God of the Old Testament and the New Testament, but he's also a God of today. And so maybe your career might be suffering a little bit. You might be thinking, man, my career's about over. No. Pray, believe God's word. I spent many years putting the word of God in my heart. And I'm glad I did, because every morning when I was in the hospital, you know, they pulled that vent tube out the next morning. So less than 24 hours, I was on a ventilator. They pulled that tube out. I had no idea why I was in the hospital. And they began to share with me what happened, and I couldn't believe it. But I had a good friend. He'd come in every morning, and he would say, Bruce, I want you to give me your favorite Bible verse. And I would say, well, I don't have one. And he knew better, so he wouldn't let up. And he would say, come on, give me your favorite Bible verse. So I would say, okay, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with your whole heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. He would say, good job. He'd come back the next morning. Give me another verse. I don't have a verse. Yeah, you do. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for me. He came in the next day. Give me another verse. And you know what I learned? The Word of God is so powerful. You know, it says it's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I learned that principle while I was laying there in the hospital, because the Word of God was in my heart. It wasn't in my head, because I was suffering from some serious short-term memory issues, if you can imagine. Kevin being without oxygen for over an hour, I was having some short-term memory problems, but the Word of God was deep in my heart, and the Bible says if I put God's Word in my heart, and if I renew my mind by the Word of God, then I'll be able to walk according to His perfect will. So our story today is a story of hope and encouragement, and I hope you're looking at it like, you know, that could happen to me. My dreams, my marriage, my job can be resurrected. And maybe there's somebody here today who doesn't even know Christ. You need to know Christ. You need to spend eternity with Him. There is a heaven, as Kevin said. There is a hell. And we can choose today whether we're going to spend eternity in heaven or spend eternity in hell. on the back of my business card. This is my real estate business card. I have a question. Can you be 100% sure that you're going to heaven? Call me to find out. I hand these cards out all the time saying, hey, if I can help you with a real estate need, I'll be glad to help you. But there's a more important question you need to be able to answer. Please look at that and then call me if you don't know the answer to that question. So God has left me here to bring hope and encouragement. We could share for, Kevin said I could talk as long as I want. But he said, y'all are going to be leaving about quarter after 11, 11:30, especially because Purdue and Butler play at noon. So we're just very thankful, very grateful to be here to share. This is a story that needs to be told. You need to share this with your coworkers, your friends. Say, hey, I met a guy that was Lazarus too, raised from the dead. And bring that story of hope and encouragement to your sphere of influence as well. We live in Greenwood. If we can help you in any way, don't hesitate to give us a call. Kevin's got our contact information. Honey, did you have anything you wanted to add or share? No? Okay. Kevin, thank you so much again for allowing us to come out and be a part of your church. We really appreciate your support and your prayers. And thank you so much for giving to the students and the scholarships that they are well deserved.